It's good to see everyone out again today. And today, we are going to be starting a brand new series, Heaven is Still Real. Heaven is Still Real. Last week, we finished up our look at the end times, and we read about how God is going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth from Revelation 21 and 22. Now, as we concluded that series, I thought that it would be, where do we go next? What do we need to look at next? Well, I mean, if we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth, then we really need to talk about what heaven is going to be like. So heaven is still real. You know, there are many ideas and misconceptions about this perfect place that we're going to go. And I hope to examine the scriptures, to examine some other ideas and other things that people have written about and studied about this place that we call heaven. And I promise that heaven will not be a boring place. How many misconceptions do we hear about heaven? Man, we're going to be sitting on the clouds and playing harps and have a nonstop hymn sing. I like hymns and I like to sing, but I don't know if I could do a hymn sing forever and ever. Could you? Sounds kind of boring to me. Heaven will not be like that. Heaven will not be like that, and that is one of the misconceptions that we see. Now, before we go any further, I do want to make preference to the fact that we will not have an absolute crystal clear picture of what heaven is really going to be like. Why? Because the scripture doesn't give us a lot of details about what heaven is going to be like. And I think that that is because God really wants it to be a surprise to us. Because how can he make known what is spiritual and heavenly when we can hardly understand what is earthly? It's going to be perfect, though. It is going to be perfect. And when we went through the WIN series, I asked people, hey, if you have questions about what the end times are going to be like, write them down for me so that I can answer those questions. And I still want that to happen. If you have a question about heaven that you would like for me to explore, please fill one of those sheets out and give it to me or put it in the offering plate, because in week 3 on the November 7th message that we're going to be talking about, I'm going to spend an entire message on talking about questions about heaven. So if you have one, please challenge me. I look forward to it. Deja's already told me that she's going to come up with one, right? Deja's going to come up with a question for me to talk about. But as we get in and we begin to understand the reality of heaven, we must first appreciate that mankind is unique. It is unique from any other thing in all of creation. We're different than the plants that God created. We're different than the animals that are in the sea. We're different than the birds of the air. We're different than any other thing that breathes oxygen here on this earth. Such a variety of living things that God's creative power made, and out of all of that variety, we are at the very top of the list. And I would say we're not even at the top of the list. We are the apple of God's eye. We are the apple of God's eye. And there is something different about us than anything else in all of creation. And that is not that we are bone, that we have bone, that we have flesh, that we have muscles, that we have eyes that can see, ears that can hear, that we have a brain, an intellect far superior than anything else on this earth. That's not it at all. What is it that makes us different and special? We are a living soul. We are a living soul. And that goes beyond anything in our brain, anything in our physical body. There is so much more to us than all of that. We are a living soul that is housed in a physical body. But because of sin, our physical bodies now understand what death is going to be as we decay each and every day. We're destined to die, yet our souls were made for eternity. Our souls were made for eternity. Because we are made in God's image, we have the ability to reason, to create, to make choices, to love. We are God's handiwork, created by His love. If we go to the book of Genesis, isn't it funny how that works? We end Revelation 21 and 22, and guess where we end up? We end up back in Genesis 1. That's how it works. If we look in Genesis 1, starting in verses 26, this is what the Scripture teaches us. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all of creation that moves along the ground." So God created man in His image, and in the image of God He created them, male and female, He created them. When we think about that amazing passage from Genesis 1, that we are created in God's image, it is absolutely fantastic. But then what do we do? What is our purpose? What is our goal in life? What did God create us to do? He created us for something special. And here in Genesis 2, verses 4 through 7, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. "When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub on the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant in the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams come up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God created us from the dust of the ground. And when He did that, He breathed in man, and he became a living soul. He didn't do that for anything else. He did that for man. And when God formed man from the dust and He breathed in him His breath, we become an everlasting living soul. God made mankind for eternity. And we have a living soul that will live forever and ever. This is what makes us different from anything else in all of creation. And as we discovered last week, those who are born again Christians, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, they will live with Him forever and ever on a new earth. They'll live with Him on a new earth forever and ever. Man, that's great. This eternity that we will spend on the new earth is the exact design, or is a like design, that God had intended for humankind in Genesis 1 and 2. That was what He created Adam for. He created Adam for eternity, to have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him, to teach Him. He was going to have that perfect relationship with God. But then sin happened. We were made for eternity. But even though we were made for eternity, we still did not really understand what eternity was going to be like when the fall happened. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one could fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." God has made us a living soul, and we will live forever with Him, but yet we can't grasp that in this earthen vessel that we call our bodies. We cannot fathom what God has done for us for all eternity. But by golly, eternity is written on our hearts. Eternity is written on our hearts. But how do we prove it? How do we prove that God has written eternity on our heart? Well, let me tell you something. God has written it on our heart, and we're going to take a look at some ways that we try to bring eternity into our lives today. Because why? We try to be remembered. We try our very best to be remembered. Why is it in our world today? How is it in our world today that we try to be remembered? We try with all kinds of accomplishments, whether they be buildings or academic accomplishments. We try all of these things because eternity is set on our hearts. People will remember me if I do this, if I do that. My family is going to remember me, right? Do any of those things work? Do any of the buildings that people have built over the years, do they stand up and last forever and ever? What happens when an architect designs a building and they go out and they build it? The person who they build this for, what happens? They put their name on that building. Oh man, my name's on a building. I'm going to be remembered forever. What happens the moment that that building is sold? The old name is taken off and a new name is put up. Is the first person remembered? Not for very long. And this keeps happening over and over and over again. What happens if I write a book? An author of a book has their name put in that book. What happens? Time passes by, new ideas spring up, new books are written, and old books are forgotten. Does that really help us to remember anyone? What about our families? My family is going to remember me. Does that work? Not for very long. And if you don't think that I'm right, name me your great-great-great-grandparents. And that's just three generations ago. We're soon forgotten. But that doesn't stop us from trying our very best to be remembered. Why? Because God has set eternity in our hearts. There is no architectural accomplishment that is going to stand the test. There is no book with the author that is going to be remembered, and our families, they'll forget us eventually. Man, that sounds kind of depressing. Way to go, Scott. You've depressed the entire congregation as we start talking about heaven. But there is something that I want us to remember this morning. As we are trying to be remembered here on this earth, I want us to turn to 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 12. And the reason why I pick verses 1 through 12 is because we have to understand and set up this entire idea that Peter is trying to convey to us at the end of this passage. So starting in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." We have tasted that the Lord is good, and we want more. We want more of His goodness. "And as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For the Scripture, it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who puts trust in Him will never be put to shame. Now you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. This chosen stone is Jesus Christ Himself. And all who believe in Him, they find Him precious. And in that preciousness, He says, I am going to give you eternal life. But for those that do not believe, He's become a stone that they stumble and they fall over. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you received mercy, but now. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Verse number 11. Is the cornerstone of what Peter is trying to tell us here. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers, you do not belong here. We, as God's chosen people, do not belong here in this fallen state that the earth is in. There is something greater waiting for us. Do not set roots down here, because all of this is going to be destroyed. All of this is going to be gone. God is saying, I am making all things new in the end. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that you will live upon, that I have destined you for, that I have created you for. If you like this earth, the new one that is coming is going to blow your socks off. It is going to blow your socks off. And God here is saying, do not let this place be what holds you. Because what is coming is so much better. It is better by far. And that place, that is our eternal home. Man, that sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? To be with God forever. And I've just spent a lot of time talking about how this place is not going to be for us, that heaven is where we're headed. But what's it going to be like? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? That's a legitimate question. Anywhere that we go, we plan and we want to know exactly where we're headed. What is it going to be like? I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about what heaven is going to be like, because it's going to be obsolete. Now, wait a minute, Scott. You just said we're going to spend all eternity in heaven. I did. But heaven's coming to earth. That new earth is what we're going to be talking about. That new earth is going to be heaven for us. And that is going to be amazing. This old earth and the heaven that we know now is going to be obsolete. And when uncreation happens, that we talked about in Revelation 21, 1 through 8 last week, we're going to be introduced to a new heaven and a new earth. But you know what? We don't have a lot of detail in Scripture that talks about this new heaven and new earth. But I believe through the Scripture, what people have studied, what they have written about, that we can begin to piece together what this new creation is going to look like. We get that a little bit from Genesis 1 and 2. But in this new creation, there's going to be one thing that is going to be completely and utterly missing. Sin will no longer be there. No more sin. No more curse. And that should excite us. That should make us go, that's a place I want to be. That is a place I want to be. No more death, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Could you imagine what this earth would be like if there was no sin? That sounds like heaven to me. No more disease. No more, for you ladies, no more aging. For us men too. No more aging. No more gray hair. No more getting tired or winded or out of shape. None of that. No more temptation to distract us. All gone. Perfection is what awaits us. No more sin to separate God from His creation. Right now, what do we see? We see a heaven where God is separated. I'm going to see Him. When He recreates things, guess what He's going to do? I'm coming to see you. And He will walk among us again in perfection, perfect unity. I will see His face. I will see His face. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore this new place that we're going to be. We're going to prepare our hearts and minds for what eternity and that eternal reality is going to be. These thoughts and these ideas, they have been researched by many people for countless years. And there are going to be a few different books that I'm going to be looking at as we go through this journey. I've got a couple of them here. The first one is simply called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And if you like an academic read, I would encourage you to pick this up. It's kind of heavy, but he brings some really good ideas that he has studied over the years. The Case for Heaven, this is a brand new one by Lee Strobel. And I like the way that Strobel writes, because he writes it from a journalistic viewpoint. Is there enough evidence out there to prove that there is a case for heaven? And there is. There's a lot of evidence for a case for heaven. And he goes through a lot of different ways that he talks to a lot of different people. And I would encourage anyone to pick those books up and take a look at them. In these works, the authors, they examine the evidence and the existence of this place that we call heaven, as well as what the Scripture teaches us about this place of our eternal dwelling. They go into topics like the living soul. They talk about what heaven will look like. What will we do in this perfect place? Will there be families and friends? Will we have our memories? These and some other topics that they go into is what we associate heaven to be like. And we'll be answering those questions there on November the 7th. So if you have a question, if there's something that's popping into your mind, hey, I would like to know more about this. What do they say about that? What does the Scripture teach us? Write them down, because I want to explore those questions. Why do we have those questions to begin with? We want to know what it's going to be like. Now, as we begin to finish up today, I want us to consider this perfect place that we are going to spend all eternity. Heaven and the new earth. What is it going to be like? Can you imagine and picture in your mind the beauty that is going to be there. That looks like a pretty cool place, doesn't it? I mean, that looks like a place that I would want to spend some time with the water flowing down, maybe with a fishing pole in my hand. Will there be fishing in heaven? I don't know, but I want to explore it and find out. Maybe that is not heaven for you. Maybe it's the roar of the ocean on the beach. Imperfection. Maybe heat is not your thing. Maybe you want to spend some time on the snow-capped peak in the mountains. Think about all these places that we're going to get to explore in its newness. Why do we picture heaven kind of like this? Because God made this earth for us to rule over, to be stewards of. And when God created it, what did He say? It is good. And if He thinks that this is good, what is the next and final earth, the final creation? When He recreates it, what is He going to say? Man, this is good. This is good. We can trust God to make a place for us to thrive in, to enjoy, a place for us to work. And it is going to be the most beautiful place that we have ever experienced. That's what the new heaven and the new earth is going to be like. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Some people look at me and go, that guy's crazy. Why can't I wait for it? Well, I can't wait for it because I'll have no more need of this. Why did I grab this when I come up here? Well, my sugar was 245, right, Charlie? We looked at it just before we got in here. 245 and then down, 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 down. Oh boy, I don't want to make sure that it goes too low while I'm standing up here. No more pricking my fingers. No more stress. No more worry. No more diabetes or cancer. None of it. All gone. I can't wait. Who's there? Who's coming with me? Those things I am ready to find out about. I'm ready to look at my Jesus in His face. I'm ready to lay eyes on the one who gave His life and died for sinful man. I'm ready for, like Thomas, until I put my fingers in His wrist and my hand in His side. And when Jesus appeared to him, Thomas, put your fingers right here. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. I'm ready for that. I am so ready for that. But until He calls us home, we're fulfilling our purpose right here and right now. But oh man, next week we're going to be talking about what eternity in heaven looks like. What will we be doing on this new earth? Come and join me next week as we talk about that. What are we going to do? What has heaven got for us? What is it going to look like? What are we going to be like? Those are some things that we're going to be exploring next week. Let's think about that. as we close today. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the promise of what is to come. And as we are a living soul, what is it going to be like to be in your presence? Oh, Father, we can't wait for that. We can't wait for it. But Father, you have given us things to look at in your Scripture, things that you have talked about, things that you have given to others to talk about. Lord, and I pray that as we begin to dive into this, that we get excited about our heavenly home, our eternal home. Oh, Father, teach us, we pray. But Lord, until we come back next week, I pray that you are putting that excitement, you are putting those questions in our heart. And why do you put those questions in our heart? So that we would seek you all the more. Father, and I pray that that's exactly what we do. We want to know more about you. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you. We praise you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.